Welcome to the Classical Academy's podcast, Partnering with Parents. Join us as we educate, encourage, and support parents in their role as the primary educator.
I'm Cameron Curry, Executive Director for the Classical Academies, and fortunate to be doing another podcast today. On the show is David Bauer, and David is one of our teachers at Classical Academy High School. And David, super excited to have you with us today.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here.
And tell us, what do you teach at Classical Academy High School?
I teach physics, both honors and regular physics, and robotics, which includes training in programming and also in SolidWorks, a 3D modeling program.
Wonderful. And how long have you been with us?
Gosh, too long to count. I think I'm starting my seventh year.
Awesome. Well, today we're going to be talking about finding the job you love. So our theme this year as an organization is passion leads to excellence. So talk to us, David, about how does passion relate to finding the job that you love?
Passion is a really important word for our organization and for me personally. I do bring my passion to my work. And I love what Chris Holtz, my colleague at CAHS, said in his senior address. I fully agree. He said, bring your passion, your enthusiasm, your all-in attitude. I love the fact that he differentiated between having a job and thinking that's your passion per se, mm-hmm. versus what you bring to the job, which turns it into the kind of place you want to work because you are, like the people at TCA, making it a great place to work.
That's true. Very, very true. So what are the biggest roadblocks to finding the job that you love?
You know, many people feel pressured to find that perfect job. And I remember having a sense, what am I supposed to do? Even back in high school. And I had some inklings and I meandered here and there. I didn't really have a sense of what my personal calling was until I went through a number of jobs. And I would have loved to have someone say to me, you don't have to have it figured out early. Just bring your passion to whatever you do. Mm-hmm. As I entered more into that and then began to look back on the experiences I had, it was like a phone call that from a friend. That's why I like to call it calling. It's like I kept on getting a phone call that was from a friend reminding me, hey, you did really good at that. Mm-hmm. Hey, don't forget this. You know what? Didn't you love overcoming that obstacle? Aren't people better because you showed up doing that? Mm-hmm. And I got excited about my sense of calling.
Love that. And I think it's interesting, too, as you've gone through different experiences, how sometimes you'll see the adversity kind of wondering why you're going through it, and then later you're able to reflect back on it and go, oh, I see at that time I was developing that skill. I was building my resiliency. It was a building block to where I am today, which is awesome.
Yeah, to follow up on that thought, Mr. Curry, I know you love Carol Dweck, and she wrote a book, Mindset. And I've been blown away by how she makes it clear that a person does not have to stay in a fixed mindset. You know,
right.
You're not fixed in a fixed mindset. You can have a growth mindset and grow into more of a growth mindset where you see all of life, as a friend of mine said it, all of life is training. Mm-hmm. And it's training to really get better and better at understanding what you bring to the table, why you went through the things you did may still be unclear, but you know you became a bigger, better person so you can serve people. And that's really what it means to me to express your passion in your personal calling.
That's great. So how can a person go from discovering his or her individual calling?
You know, a calling is not a job. It's not a specific job. I've run three businesses. You know, I've done so many different things, I lose track. But, you know, I worked as an engineer, run a couple businesses with my kids. I helped start a couple of charter schools and was a co-director of one. But, you know, that's not really the important thing. Mm-hmm. It's the threads that ran through all of them. And by doing an inventory of the things that I did, I began to see specific skills, things I'm really good at, that I know it and others affirm me for, and the kind of projects and problem solving that I enjoy doing And this is super important, that actually pay the bills. You know, right. There has to be an economic engine, as one friend reminded me, a businessman, and he said it so clearly, you got to find the overlap with something that people value enough that they want to pay you what you're worth. At some point, what we all have to go through, in order to find the job that we really love, we have to do the hard work of reflecting back and the discipline of writing down, just simply writing down what I call skill vignettes, brief stories that could be a page or less, and just describing what did I enjoy, what did I overcome, who did I serve, what was effective, and then do an inventory of the skills that I exhibited. The best resource I can offer to my friends and colleagues and to young people especially is a book that does this in a superlative way. It's called What Color Is Your Parachute for Teens? It builds on the work of a man by the name of Richard Bowles, who for more than 35 years has published the definitive work on, I guess you the old school term is career counseling.
Okay.
And what's unique about it is he does not take the standard approach to finding jobs. He advocates strongly, instead of looking at the want ads or the other typical approach of submitting your resume to every person you know. Instead, you take stock of the very things we've been describing and then use the kinds of tools that he offers and that you can find online to analyze what are the skills and the kind of people you'd like to work with, and the kind of environment you'd like to be in, and the level of income you want. Because frankly, some people, they know, I don't actually want to make six figures. I'd rather make less, and I want my life to be like this. Mm-hmm. Or some people want to go for a higher level and have higher responsibility. He is so effective at it in person. But to be frank, the author who pared it down and made it very manageable so that every single sentence is a winning opportunity is Carol Kristen. This book is available on Amazon for about $10. Great, great deal. What Color Is Your Parachute for Teens? The subtitle is Discover Yourself, Design Your Future, and Plan Your Dream Job.
That's awesome. I remember I started working at 13 and I was cleaning offices, and then I really did a self-inventory of I didn't want to work in fast food, and I didn't want to do certain things. So I just started only applying at places that I really wanted to work at. And I think that sometimes what our teens are doing is they're doing this really shotgun approach to just kind of applying everywhere, hoping something bites. But I know for my own children, I really spoke to them specifically about, if you never want to work there, why would you ever apply there? So I think that is really important as well, to just, you know, some advice that I shared with my own children is, you know, only apply where you want to work, because if you got a job at something you don't really know that you personally don't like, you're not going to be successful there anyway. So,
well, Richard Bowles would strongly agree with you. And here's the technique that he teaches that I used when I was trying to sort out a mid-career shift into what ended up being teaching. Instead of thinking of it as I'm going to go get interviewed, it's I'm interviewing the companies,
right,
and finding out, is this really the kind of place I want to work with the people that I'd love to work with, and problem solving the problems that I'd like to solve. That transformed my view of work.
That's awesome. I know I'm doing the last final interview for full-time employees that come into the organization, and one of the questions I'm always asking those candidates is, after I'm done asking my questions, is to encourage them. So what questions do you have for us? Because I think it's important that you're interviewing us as part of this process. Not only do we probably going to offer you a great job, but is this the type of organization you want to work for? What do you value and why are you here? And have them ask questions that really define, yes, I'd like to work here. Not only this is the job that I want, but this is the kind of the culture that I want to work with. These are the people that I want to work with. This is the organization within this community that I want to work with. So really, really important. So beyond those books that you mentioned, are there other resources that you'd suggest specifically for teenagers in discovering their key motivational abilities?
It's tough on your own coming up with tools to prioritize and mm-hmm. sort and describe skills. So if you look online, you'll find many skill inventories that are linked up with either Richard Bowles or Carol Kristen. And I found that they're sorting through their skill inventories and seeing what rose to the top, the two or three or four skill sets that they'd say, wow, that represents who I am and what I want to do.
Great. So what evidence for hopeful outcomes using these tools have you seen with your students?
I had one student in my robotics class last year. Wow, am I proud of her. I knew I felt pride over her before we even did this exercise, but I wondered why. And it came out of her doing these skill vignettes. She was mentored.
Okay.
And I have to boast over one of my colleagues. So Ms. McCormick did a fantastic job helping this young lady feel safe failing big in front of her mentor. When I heard her blast out her solo at one of the assemblies, I realized what a transformation from a shy little girl to someone competent and attractive to an employer or to the school that she wants to go to. The doors are open to her. And she said it was very helpful. She stopped me at the door once we had finished this project of writing skills down and stories that represented achievements and problem solving and then inventorying the skills. She said, this was really helpful for me in defining my future direction. Frankly, I that was one of the most honoring experiences I had the whole year, because I thought, wow, she already knows her direction. Well, even someone who has succeeded, maybe even more so, person who succeeds in this direction and that direction and that direction, they may need guidance in defining the best first steps. So I thought that was one of the greatest positive outcomes of training students in these things.
Why is this topic a passion point for you? Why are you spending the time to talk to us about this today?
I believe young people need to be treated as young adults. When I was treated that way by people in my high school years, I felt honored and I felt like I was given an open door to a new world. And yet, I was mostly given platitudes from people who were supposed to be giving me information about possible jobs. So all I knew how to do was say, well, I could earn money as an engineer. So I went into engineering. It was a great experience. I learned how to solve problems. But only when I learned to reflect back and see, oh, I'm getting more kudos for my presentations than any analysis I ever do.
Okay.
It's not my math. It's not my knowledge of physics per se. It's the fact that I love to help people understand things. So I am really excited about sharing this with my students and any young person who just needs the wind under their wings to see their path a little more clearly so that time isn't wasted in college, so that time is most fruitfully spent in high school, and they get to have the highest and best of success.
So how could a student get started by investing 20, maybe 20 to 30 minutes, 1 to 3 times a week?
I call it hot pen writing. Even 10 minutes a day, just saying, I'm going to write and not stop. Have a one of those bound composition books or anything that where the pages fold together and just say, today I'm going to write with a hot pen. And just imagine, I'm not allowed to stop writing about any experiences I've had, where I even moved towards success, or I enjoyed it a lot, and people told me I did a good job, or I knew I did a good job. Even 3 to 10 minutes could make a huge difference in self-awareness, and self-awareness comes before self-responsibility, and self-responsibility is what it takes to have true self-governance. I'd like to see students succeed by just taking 10 minutes a day, maybe 2 or 3 times a week, maybe just once a week.
Sure.
And that's what fans a sense of the fans the flames for a student's sense that this is worth me investing in the future. I ought to look for a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the next thing to get started on as soon as possible. Don't wait until you're a senior. When you're a freshman or even in middle school, start thinking about who besides my family members, honor them for sure, but who besides my family members can I get close enough to receive experience with someone who has expertise? And as much as they're willing to pour into you, especially if it's in an area where you know you're good,
mm-hmm.
you like it, and it can pay you.
Exactly.
So I have a short and sweet three things to remember.
Wonderful.
Find your passion. You got to start there. Refine your calling and mind your mentors.
That's great. I can see how parents can utilize our different Facebook groups that are parents only, and they can post different things. I have a son or daughter interested in XYZ. Is there another parent out there who could provide my child a mentorship opportunity? I know the fabric of our great organization is the involvement of parents, and I think that's another way that we can collaborate, and I think it's another way that parents can help kind of fan the flames of these passions that are growing in their students, and you know, making those connections in our community could be really beneficial. So, David, as we wrap up today, is there something you'd like to leave us with beyond the three things that you just shared, which I think are phenomenal? Thank you.
Well, you know, I think it's like planting seeds in a garden. I got this image in my mind as I was preparing, because one of my kids put together a big grow box, made a grow box that is so rich in soil, so well fertilized, so well tended that anything in there is popping up.
Mm.
Well, I think when you do these skill vignettes, you're sowing seeds, and you may not know what's going to pop up. But as things begin to grow, as you begin to inspect the shoots and the fruit, it starts to make sense.
Right.
And so I think just viewing it as it's just something to have fun with. Why not have fun describing things that you enjoyed mm-hmm. and that other people affirmed you for? After all, no one ever died from too much encouragement.
That's true. Absolutely. Well, David, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. It's been great to learn more about finding the job that you love.
This podcast is brought to you by the Classical Academies, a group of award-winning public charter schools serving over 4,500 students in Southern California. If you have a suggestion for a future episode, email us at podcast@classicalacademy.com. Subscribe to our channel or leave us a review. Thanks for listening.